And now it's time for Inside Voices with Kevin Causey-Thomas, a local discussion focused on systemic racism, injustice, and hate in our country. Although we may not always agree, the aim of Inside Voices is to confront these truths together by sharing the voices of those facing these struggles and to find a path to making things better. We invite you to listen to this ongoing conversation. And now, here's Kevin.
Greetings, Black men and women, allies of the struggle, people of all races, colors, and nationalities. Welcome back to another episode of Inside Voices. I'm your host, Kevin Causey-Thomas, and you're listening right here on 97.9 The Hill and ChapelBurrow.com. And yeah, this is the first episode back for a new season. They let me come back and keep doing this. They didn't run me out of town. And that's a blessing because we're using this platform to continue to have an ongoing conversation around what's systemic, around racism, social justice, just tackling a lot of the issues and conversations before they trend, before we have a problem, before we run into roadblocks. We're having this conversation like family in our community. And so thanks for tuning in. And today's episode, we have a special guest, a friend of mine, an ally in the struggle, if you will. And of course, one of my Carolina alumni brothers as well. This is Mr. Aaron Nelson, the CEO of Chapel Hill and Carrboro Chamber of Commerce, is in the building with us today. Aaron, how you doing?
It's good to be here with you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Causey.
Yeah, yeah. You know, all my friends call me Causey.
Who do you want to be today?
That would be good. Aaron, so we were talking earlier before the show started about the history of, you know, Chapel Hill and the history of the chamber and how it has dealt with some of these issues dealing with Black entrepreneurship and Black business owners. Some of it's been good and some of it not so good, and some things that we need to work through. And could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. I think that most people think of college towns as progressive places, and we think of ourselves as a liberal place, that we always vote for the Democrat, that we don't care who you marry or who you sleep with. But our history on race is not one that we should be terribly proud of. Chapel Hill was not a leader in integrating its community. In fact, the Chapel Hill Board of Aldermen, they were called at the time, voted not to integrate. We required all lunch counters and public accommodations to remain segregated until the federal government ordered us to integrate. And my organization, the Chamber of Commerce, we were on the wrong side of history. We advocated that a business should be able to serve whoever it wanted, that we should not be forced to integrate. That was a terrible choice of ours. We regret that and have very publicly apologized for the role that we played in continuing segregation in our community. And it's pretty disappointing when we go back in history to see that Chapel Hill has not been the leader that we would have liked it to have been.
I think that we're continuing to reconcile our past and our present with what the Chapel Hill has been in the brochure and on the postcard. Because ideally, there are a lot of people here that do exude that energy. And but does the system treat everyone the way that we idealize? Only in Whole Foods and on NPR, I think.
And maybe not even there.
Right.
We have some things to be proud of. We elected the first Black mayor of a non-majority Black city in the South. Howard Lee is the first Black mayor elected in the South. And there are some other things for which we can be proud. But even more recently, in renaming Airport Road to Martin Luther King, that should not have been difficult. But the amount of people who came out and said, I'm not a racist, but, and then opposed the renaming of our main road to Martin Luther King, exposed that racism remains a real challenge, even in this progressive community.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes the devil is in those details. And so organizations such as the chamber, are, you know, business owners such as myself will rely on your guys were invaluable just to help me with the guidance of just some type of support to help in establishing yourself in the community. And so with that being the past, you know, how do you see the present, you know, like in what's going on now and what we would like to move a little bit forward towards and how the chamber is kind of helping?
Well, we see that our job is how can we help the businesses and organizations in our community thrive, particularly in this pandemic? How can we help you navigate your way through this crisis and emerge successful on the other side? And we know that economic recovery, as we look across the country, is almost universally inequitable. that the recovery of the Crystal Coast after the Deepwater Horizon, the recovery after hurricanes, the recovery after tornadoes is inequitable. Some communities and some communities within a community recover faster than others. So for us to be the kind of community we wish to be, we're going to be super intentional about our economic recovery and making sure particular communities of color and low wealth communities are attended to in this economic recovery so that we can all be successful when this is over.
Right on. I love the sound of that. And you know, I think that that's the thing is, we've talked about on this show before, people would be surprised at how many Black business owners that we have in Chapel Hill and in Orange. I think that it is a misconception that there's not many. And I think that in this moment when we're highlighting, you know, I think in this grand moment in our society, we're highlighting these things, right? Even the Google commercials, the four-way, I see that commercial all the time. And I'm like, this is a great moment to accentuate what we have that's good, that's already here, the people that are from here, that are exuding that energy. Because a lot of what we're seeing is Mama Dip survives the pandemic, and the places that are endeared to our community survive these types of disasters because people love them and then they continue to support them, right? And so, that's just great to hear that. So are there any programs or any type of initiatives or any concepts or anything like that that are being developed or talked about that could possibly be of interest to like Black business owners or don't someone thinking about starting a business in Chapel Hill that's a Black man or woman?
So our Black business community has gone mostly under the radar, particularly after George Floyd and a real community effort of let's go find our Black businesses and figure out how to help them. Well, now sit down and you and I make a list. Well, it was hard to make that list. So over this last year, we've done a much better job of identifying the organizations that exist. You're right. There's a misconception that there aren't many. We've generated a list of 70 Black business leaders in our community, and I'm sure there are many more who are trying to figure out not only how do we make the programming that is available, the technical assistance, the support, the mentoring, the coaching that already existed. Let's make it available to everybody. Let's be intentional. Let's make affirmative efforts to reach out to communities of color and Black business leaders. But it's time also to create some specific programming, to create a Black Business Alliance, to create an organization that convenes and promotes and accelerates the success of our Black business community.
Right on. And this is the thing. I think that for us, by us, is a statement, you know, people will say FUBU, and I'm not talking about the clothing, but just saying that it's an important element of this organization and of the community that it be ran, represented, and the voice that is predominant are the Black leaders, that the chamber is supporting this, but that it should be ran by Black men and women. Is that correct?
It must.
Yeah.
It must. For a Black Business Alliance, it must have Black leadership. But it cannot, the for us, by us is important, but it cannot be exclusively insulated. Our Black community is not strong enough to support all of the Black businesses that they are. We need the entire community to be supporting the Black businesses that we have here. Their organizations ought to be led by Black leaders, but it is incumbent on all of the broader community to make sure that we're investing in our businesses run by Black business leaders.
Right. And in the right way, I say that because in the right way, in a way that's constructive, right? Because it has been problematic with probably some things that have been tried in the past where we've had people that come in and maybe have tried to hijack the conversation or maybe influence the conversation in a way.
Let's be real direct about it. I served on the board of El Centro Latino for a period of time, and there were more white people on the board of directors of El Centro Latino than there were Latinos on the board of El Centro Latino. We would all be super disappointed if we pulled back the curtain at the NAACP and found it was a whole bunch of white people running that organization. Similarly, if we're going to create a Black Business Alliance, we'll expect its leadership to be representative of the community it's working closest with.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so that being a tenant, that is important, that it is, you all are supporting, helping provide the structure and, you know, support to allow Black business leaders to stand on their own, an important part of this. And so, yeah, I love this conversation. We're going to keep this going. We have Aaron Nelson here from the CEO of Chapel Hill and Carrboro Chamber of Commerce. This is Kevin Kazi Thomas. You're listening to Inside Voices on 97.9 The Hill. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas on 97.9 The Hill. We'll be back with more after this. And now, back to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas. Once again, here's Kevin.
And welcome back to Inside Voices. This is your host, Kevin Kazi Thomas, and you're listening on 97.9 The Hill. And we have an ongoing conversation right here today with Aaron Nelson, CEO of Chapel Hill and Carrboro Chamber of Commerce, in the house today. How you doing, Aaron?
It's good to see
still,
you, Kazi.
Still with us, and we're keeping it COVID safe, and we're going to keep the conversation moving because I don't want to keep them cooped up in this room too long. But we're having a great conversation around Black entrepreneurship, Black business, and how we can help build and support that in our community and continuing to do so. And I want to start out with this next, you know, part of the conversation around I think that there's a common perception at Chapel Hill that there's no Black people here, or there's only a few of us. And if we are, then we're kind of in the background. And when we're talking about why Black business would be important in a community like this with that, you know, maybe it's a misconception.
I think it is. The misconception is that Chapel Hill over time has gotten richer and whiter, that we've become more and more of a bedroom community, that gentrification and redevelopment has pushed Black people out of our community. And while some of that is true, it is the case that more Black people live in Chapel Hill than have ever lived in Chapel Hill. We have more Black people live in Chapel Hill than we did in 1990. And Chapel Hill is less white today than it ever has been. In 1990, Chapel Hill was 80% white. Today, Chapel Hill is 69% white. The county is similar, and our demographics are changing radically. The Latino population have been growing very quickly here, but there are now more Asians in Carrboro than there are Latinos in Carrboro. The Asian population outpacing also Latinos. But on our Black population, they are as held strong and consistent over time. And so if that is the case, then how can we help grow and support Black entrepreneurship, Black-owned businesses? How can we help Black-owned businesses engage in a broader community? And then are there unique challenges for Black enterprise different than other minority enterprise, than other not white or than white enterprises? And if so, what are we going to do about that?
Absolutely. And talking about this, while the population grows and expands, and make sure that like the economic community reflects like what's going on in the community, right? That you know, I think that we're seeing different communities in the past that are being, you know, gentrification is already gets thrown around a lot. And so what is important, I think, to a lot of Black people in this moment is owning some of the equity in their community and having a business on their block, you know, that other people are coming in and reclaiming that. And so even the historically Black communities in Chapel Hill, I think that Black business owners, I'm starting to see people do more and bigger things. And, you know, you have examples of people all over town.
Well, and the change, I think, is if we want to take a longer look at history, in a segregated South, there are Black businesses serving Black people, and there are white businesses serving white folks. When the white ambulance company wouldn't pick up a Black kid who got hurt at the high school football game, and you had to send for the funeral parlor's hearse in order to take the kid to the hospital. But when integration happened, I think that we did a poor job of many of those Black businesses died out as white businesses began serving the Black community. And so we have had thriving Black businesses that served the Black community. It was barbershops and clothing stores and a few others. But what we've not done a very good job of is cultivating a culture of entrepreneurship. What are the capital needs for those enterprises? What is the coaching and counseling and technical assistance support needed? Was the help on office space, legal? How can we help make that more successful? And I think in order to do that, we have to be intentional. We have to say we wish it. Let's decide that we want to be one of the best places in North Carolina to grow and start a Black-owned business. And if we say that, then what will it take in order to make that true? And how would we know if we got there? Let's set some measures and then let's get after it.
Yeah. And you identified a couple of the challenges, right? The challenges, the what might be roadblocks to being successful. We were speaking earlier, and that's what I was saying. I think that the devil is in the details of a lot of these things that might not be in apparent in data, because you would say, what's the difference for an experience for a Black business owner than there is for a white business owner? And there's just going to be some inherent. I think that just to go and be in a community or a group of people that have faced some of the same challenges you, that look like you, and that would may want to lend some of their experience to you, is super important. And so just shout out to all the Black business owners and entrepreneurs that are out there listening, facing these challenges. And so the chamber is trying to create this umbrella or promote this energy that, like, hey, we can help you overcome some of these challenges or obstacles that keep some people from just, you know, that are usually the thing that stop people from taking that next step forward, right?
Correct. And I don't know what all of those are. And so in order to be successful, we want to convene a Black Business Alliance. What would it be like if we identified 60, 80, 100 Black business leaders and brought those individuals together? What if we created a steering committee of Black business leaders to decide what programming was needed? We think it's got three purposes, and I really appreciate your help in helping us craft what those purposes would be. How do we build relationships between and among the Black business leaders in our community? How can we support and accelerate the success of the businesses, Black-owned or Black-managed businesses in our community? And then how can we give strengthen the voice so that the Black Business Alliance can speak, can advocate to our county, to our government officials, to the chamber, to the community,
yeah.
And overall with a mission statement of a thriving, successful Black business community.
Right on. And authentically, with equity and ownership and all of those things. And that's amazing. You know, I think it's been a blessing that a lot of the relationships that I've gained in the community by attending, you know, chamber events and things that you've invited me to and conversations that we had. And so when I step out, a lot of the younger kids or people that are coming up will say, hey, Kaz, how do I get my foot in? Or, you know, I'm thinking about trying to open something on Franklin, and it will be really good. And to be able to tell Black kids, young men and women, hey, come to this Black Business Alliance, that come and you can be introduced to all the other people in town that are taking their business as seriously as you are, and how we can share information and resources. That would have helped me tremendously in my beginnings. And so the fact that we're talking about that now, having that, I hope everybody out there, you know, it's not ready yet, right? But we're putting the energy out there that this is something that the community would need and benefit from. So looking forward to that. Yeah. And so, you know, when we just talked about what it would take, the challenges and why Black business. And so we're going to take another little break and come back and continue our conversation with Aaron Nelson, CEO of Chapel Hill and Carrboro Chamber of Commerce, about Black business in Chapel Hill. Stay tuned. This is Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas. You're listening on 97.9 The Hill. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas on 97.9 The Hill. We'll be back with more after this. And now, back to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas. Once again, here's Kevin.
And welcome back to Inside Voices. This is your host, Kevin Kazi Thomas, and you're listening on 97.9 The Hill. And we're continuing our conversation with Aaron Nelson, CEO of Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce, here in our conversation around Black entrepreneurship and everything that goes along with it here. And it's been really, really, really enlightening conversation. So we're going to keep going and talk. I want to touch in this segment, Aaron. When people talk about people of color, opposed to Black business, right? Or if we say minority business, what's the distinction? Why not a minority business situation instead of a Black business situation?
for us, we are intentionally having a black business. We want to create a black business alliance and not a minority business alliance. Our history, we've had several convenings of minority businesses, and they're interesting in the first few meetings. But the reality is that the challenges of our Latinx community and the incredible diversity within the Latinx community, that of our Asian community, of our Indian community, and our black community are different. And the fact that they're all not white is some commonality. But with respect to challenges, obstacles, history, it different enough that they warrant, we think, different efforts. And so rather than convene a minority business council or minority business alliance, we think right now it's time for a black business alliance. In the future, will there be a Latinx, a special group working with our Latinx community? We think absolutely. And we'll be moving on to that. But I think it is very different, a black entrepreneur versus a South Asian restaurateur or hotel owner versus a person who's starting their first shop. It's just, those are very different experiences. And we think it's important to be intentional, focus on black-owned businesses.
Absolutely. And to be pro and not anti anyone, but to say, you know, that we are pro in supporting black business.
Correct.
It's not a all lives matter, all businesses matter type of statement. It's saying that right now we need to focus on supporting the black men and women that are out here trying to do their thing. And so I definitely appreciate that distinction because I want to see success for all races, colors, and nationalities. And I think that support goes in both directions, in every direction. Do we support other people and then they support us? And that's across to all races, colors,
and absolutely. And that shouldn't be surprising to any of us. Some of us studied Spanish. We didn't study every language. Some of us, we took American history, then we took European history, then we took world history. Right. We can take these things in order, but at the moment, we think that this community and this time require a focus on black entrepreneurship and black-owned business.
Amen. Love to hear it. Love to hear it. And with that being said, you know, I think that, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about some of the things in Chapel Hill that still need some work. You know, we talk about a lot of the good things, but then some of the things around kids' futures and public schools that you were saying that
right
could be better.
At the Chamber, we have a long view. We've been around for 75 years. We'll be here another 75 years. So the kids that are in third grade are going to be our workforce in less than 10 years, 12 years, right?
Right.
And so if our public schools, and we brag on them, right? We think we're the best of the best of the best. If that is where our future workforce comes from, we are doing a terrible job educating children of color. Mm-hmm. In Chapel Hill Carver City Schools, we have one of the greatest disparities from the performance of white children and non-white children. The point difference between are extraordinary. I'll just use one example. Reading on grade level at grade 3. They say there's nothing more important in the whole world. They teach you how to read until third grade, and after third grade, you got to read in order to learn. So if you're not reading on grade level. So in Chapel Hill Carver City Schools, 70% of our children read on grade level in third grade. Only 70, but it's 90% of our white children are reading on grade level, and 32% of our black children are reading on grade level in grade 3 in the richest community in the state of North Carolina with the most amount of resources to apply to our public schools. Now, in the last time that the data came out, it's 2 years ago, because everybody who's out there as a parent knows that we didn't test anybody last year, that showed a narrowing of the gap. Our black children's performance is improving. But it is improving, so we deserve credit for that. The gap is still extraordinary, and oftentimes our black children are performing poorer than Alamance black children, than Orange County's black children, than Chatham's black children. Mm. So we need to make sure that we are providing an extraordinary education to everybody. This is our future workforce in our community. And if we're going to be proud of a public education system, it needs to make sure that it is educating all of our children successfully.
Absolutely. Because when we talk about what's systemic, education, you know, economics, like, can I get the same loan that you can get? You know, we're saying, you know, am I getting the same education sitting in the same classroom as you or even in the same school district? And so identifying that even in what most people will consider one of the most affluent education school districts in our country, that this would be the disparity and that you're addressing that is important. Wow. Just a wow stat, actually.
And even for those people who have internalized that or have, what do they call it, the subtle racism of low expectations. Even if you think, well, we'll never, you should at least hope that the black children of our community do better than the black children of neighboring communities. Absolutely. We should at least, we should not be able to tell somebody's end of grade test scores by looking at them. We should not be able to predict that simply by looking at them. And it should be the case that the children of our community, no matter what racial background, Latinx, black, white, that they should be doing better than the neighbors.
Yeah. And that's a community problem. And you should not be okay with the children.
We should not. We're outraged.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that we're addressing that. And oftentimes when we address problems, we have to address resources, right? And so... What type of resources? Are there any type of resources or anything like that I know outside of the conversation of education, but back to business, right? We're talking about what type.
Well, there has never been more capital available. Mm-hmm. So if you are a black-owned business right now wanting to start up or already in existence, there has never been. 5 years ago, you came to me and you said, is there anything such thing as free money? I would have said, there's no such thing as free money. All right. There is now. Such thing as free money, prepaid in your taxes. So Orange County has a grant program every quarter. They give thousands and thousands of dollars, either a $1,500 grant or a $10,000 grant. Chapel Hill and Carrboro all combined have put more than $1 million of free money into local small businesses. Carrboro will have a little more grant and revolving loan fund that they will put in. We think more resources will come available in the new CARES Act. With our federal government, the economic injury and disaster loans, it's up to $150,000 at 3.75% interest with no payments for a year. It's an incredible time to capitalize your business and invest in equipment and other things that you need in order to be successful. And then on the PPP, sole proprietors, gig workers, independent contractors, S-Corp, C-Corp, sole proprietor, everybody has access to that. And if you didn't do draw one, you can. And you even can do draw one and draw two. You've heard about PPP two. Mm-hmm. Well, you can do them both. Mm-hmm. You can do draw one this year. You can spend it and you can do draw two again this year. And if folks are looking for resources on that, they ought to contact the chamber, check out our website. We'll talk more about that later.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And so we've touched on in this block a lot of like the other things, you know, why not a minority business? Why a black business council? You know, some of the continuing problems around education and economics that we're addressing and working through with these resources. And just to be, you know, I work for those of y'all that know me, I'm with Arts and Culture with the Downtown Partnership now. And a lot of Franklin Street is a lot of the conversation, you know, about what's going on in the Hill and what we're needing some help with. And the presence of, you know, a minority business on Franklin Street in this time where we're having so many vacancies and we're talking about recruiting and being intentional, that is definitely part of what we're talking about, right? And perceived like perception of how much black business we have in Chapel Hill versus like what that might be in Durham and other communities that we don't have that much. And like, are we being intentional about what we maybe want to repopulate in this Sure. moment where we have so much vacancy?
I think we should set goals about doubling or tripling the amount of black-owned businesses in our community. But in the Census Bureau does a business survey. Their last one was 2017. It said in Chapel Hill, 2% of all businesses are owned by black people. That's a paltry, that's very, right? Very small. We take a look at Durham, which I would have thought 20-25%. They're 6%.
Right.
So they're 6%.
Right.
We are 2%. It is reasonable for us to set goals. But our black businesses have been pretty resilient. And you were saying downtown.
Yeah.
So as I start walking down the street, we know Dame's Chicken and Waffles, he's going to open. We know that Ben and Jerry's is owned by Antonio. We've right. got Ya'ai with his... vegan cafe. We've got Al's Burger Shack further down the street. You know, every couple hundred yards, we have black-owned businesses.
Chris Baldwin.
Yep. Yeah, Chris Baldwin. We have Chris Baldwin. If you go even a little bit further, you have jumped over Tommy Tucker's place to get to Chris's.
Right.
There are. Right. If folks want to know what can they do to help, it is to be intentional with your choices. You know, put your money where your house is, number one. Invest in your community. Choose to shop local. And then if supporting black-owned businesses is important to you as it is to me and is to you, Kazi, then spend your money that way.
Absolutely.
And then spend your money. We shouldn't wring our hand. I can't believe you went out of business. Well, when was the last time you went there? Yeah. Oh, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Put your money where your priorities are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Love it. Love to see it. Love to hear it. Love to talk about it. And yeah, I think that, you know, COVID, you know, as me being one of the owners, you know, people that had a business that they lost during COVID, as far as their location, the business is alive and well, you know, we're pivoting in this moment. But it is encouraging to know that there are going to be new access to opportunities. You know, it's not far-fetched to want to be a Black business owner. And let me say this to people listening, that you didn't have to go to Carolina. Right. That I think that there is, you know, some sort of there's a little bit of a disconnect for people that grow up here, that grow up in town and grow up in Orange and in the community, that feel like there's a gap in opportunities that's available to them than to kids that come up in the Carolina family or that come from certain access. And it's a Chapel Hill Carrboro situation, Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce, Chapel Hill Carrboro businesses, and what we're talking about in the Black Business Alliance. We just want to make sure that we echo and exude that it is open to everybody, you know, that wants to be a part of it. So continuing to work, do this work, continuing to have this conversation. And we have Aaron here. We're going to come back and wrap up and find out how, you know, he'll let us know how to get in touch with him and get access to all this good stuff when we come right back on Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas. You're listening on 97.9 The Hill. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas on 97.9 The Hill. We'll be back with more after this. And now, back to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas. Once again, here's Kevin.
All right, and welcome back to Inside Voices. I'm your host, Kevin Kazi Thomas. You're listening on 97.9 The Hill and chapelboro.com. And we are continuing our conversation with Aaron Nelson, CEO of Chapel Hill and Carrboro Chamber of Commerce. We're talking about Black entrepreneurship, Black business, history, past, present, future, the challenges we're facing and obstacles that we're overcoming. We're working to overcome with conversations like these, identifying disparities, gaps and challenges and ways to do something, not just talk about it. We're here to do something. And so, yes, it's been great having you here. And before we leave, the chamber, tell us how we can get in touch with you. Tell us all the great things that you got going on coming up.
You're kind to invite me to share that. If folks do want more information, it is a membership organization, and we are welcoming anybody who wants to be a part of it. You can go to carolinachamber.org. You know, nobody writes down websites anymore, though. Just Google it. Just Google Chapel Hill and Chamber, or Google Carrboro and Chamber. We've got a great organization called the Carrboro Business Alliance. That's a group of 90 businesses that are very Carrboro focused. We staff that. We've got a young professionals network called CHIP, Chapel Hill Young Professionals, a really exciting group. There's a program we're working on called Big Bold Ideas, which Kazi, you are a part of, that is closing the achievement gap and making sure all students are successful, supporting entrepreneurship, and training radical improvements in the availability of affordable housing.
Yeah. And before you move on to that closing the achievement gap, I think that's another misconception that people have about Chapel Hill school system, right? That every kid here reads on an amazing grade level and that there is no disparity between what white kids and Black kids might be achieving and receiving. But
it's a big difference. And when you take a look at averages, which is what we're so proud of, right? Best average SAT score, great. Average ACT score, great. But you pull back the covers and let's take a look at what percentage of Black children are scoring the minimum score required in order to go to a UNC system school. And then what percent of white children are achieving that. And the gap on that is substantial. Are substantially different performance from our children of color and our low wealth children, regardless of color, but particularly between our children of color, our Black and Latino children, and our white children. And I think that requires an incredible amount of attention. And maybe we have a brand new superintendent, Dr. Nia Hamlet, that is one of her key goals. And she just started a couple months ago, and maybe we'll get an opportunity to bring her in and talk about
that. That would be great. Sorry, I mean to stop.
Oh, so yeah, the chamber. Yeah. Regarding the chamber, we're easy to find online. You'll find information. We have a clear customer promise. How can we connect you How can we advocate for you? And then how can we make this a successful community where you can thrive? So we will connect you with people, information, and resources. We're going to advocate for you to local government on big and little issues. And then how do we drive progress and how do we build community so that we can be as good as we know we can be in this community? I'm grateful for my friendship with you for 20 years now. Absolutely. And for this renewed partnership. Thanks, Kazi, for having me on.
Absolutely. You know, it's a thing. It's like we continue to grow and evolve. And as we do this good work, it's really good. When we say allies, it's really, I really do mean it when I see it, when I say that to you, Aaron. You know, it's hard work and a lot of people don't want to do it, you know, because it's difficult conversations. It's going in spaces that sometimes might be feeling uncomfortable or what you're used to, and facing some history, some things that have been done that we're looking to fix and correct. So I appreciate you wanting to do that social work that leads to economic work, which then leads to what we're talking about, self-sustainability. And we're talking about really supporting some things that combat what's systemic. It's a big deal. You know, I love that airport could become Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. I love more that there'll be a Black Business Alliance and conversations around how Black men and women can support themselves with the support of our allies and our community as well. That's a win-win. That's what we're talking about. So thank you for coming here and introducing these concepts to our community openly with transparency. And so we'll be continuing to share information as we develop this idea of how, you know, our listenership can get involved, whether you're an existing business or you are someone that is looking to start business in Chapel Hill. This will be a great resource for you. So introducing you to the idea of what's coming soon here. And thanks for checking back in on Inside Voices. Like I said, we're back on the air. So continue to check us out here on 97.9 The Hill and chapelboro.com. Every Sunday, check the listing. I want to say we're going to be 2:30 every Sunday, but you will check us. You can always stream us on 97.9 The Hill and chapelboro.com and on Apple Podcasts as well. All right. So, Aaron, thanks again.
Thank you.
Yeah. Check out all the links. We'll have them posted and check us back again next week right here for another episode of Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas. Y'all have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas on 97.9 The Hill. Catch this episode and more by visiting our on-demand page at chapelboro.com.